Well, we're going to look at a couple of more things here tonight. We read in the Bible this morning in John chapter 12, and verse number 20, there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And, Jesus said in John chapter 4, when he was talking at the woman at the well, he said, "You worship, you know not what." Here the Greeks have come to worship. The Bible said in verse 21, "The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and Andrew, and again Andrew, and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come, and the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. It certainly is a blessing, Lord, to be gathered back in your house tonight. Thank you for your people. Lord, I just appreciate so very much your faithfulness to us. God, I pray tonight, Lord, you'd help me to be a blessing to our folk that are here. Lord, there could be someone here tonight don't know Jesus. I pray, Lord, this would be the night that they'd come to know you. Lord, I never shall forget the night, Lord. Lord, when I had enough of the guilt, had enough of the shame. Lord, that night by your stripes I was healed. The blood was applied in my life. You forgave me of all that mess. And Father, I thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, tonight you'd clothe us in our calling. Help us to glean truth that'll help us to live a little more like Jesus in these days. In thy name we pray. Amen and amen. We looked this morning, we said that when we see Jesus, they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." When you see Jesus, you'll see the grace of God. And when you see Jesus, you'll see the goodness of God. And when you see Jesus, you'll see yourself guilty before God. I thought it was amazing, Brother Brian. I think you had to go to work this morning, didn't you, brother? I thought you did. But it was amazing that I was kind of in a hurry. And so I didn't read all my text in Isaiah, but I actually had that text laid out that Brother Brian used in Sunday school, where Isaiah said, "I saw also the Lord high and lifted up." Amen. I think it's just amazing how the Lord works, amen, in our hearts and in our lives. Tonight I want to give you two more things just in closing out the message. And we would see Jesus. When we see Jesus, number four tonight, we see the glory of God. I'll show you what I mean here. Let's turn back over to chapter 11. I'm trying to stay right in the text here in a couple of chapters, just a little piece of 11, a little piece of chapter 13 where we were this morning. The Bible said Jesus in verse 38, "Therefore again groaning in himself, he cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her," watch this now, "said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou wouldest see the glory of God?" Boy, I tell you, we need to see the glory, don't we? Amen. You remember when in the Old Testament, when God's presence came down and filled the house, the Bible talked about the glory of the Lord filled the house. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his napkin was bound, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go. I believe it's important tonight that we see the glory of God when we see Jesus. That is God's glory reflected to mankind through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here John said, Jesus told him in the book of John, if you'll just believe me, you will see the glory of God. No wonder the Bible said, without faith it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can I say this tonight, and I'm not trying to be mean-spirited at all, but there's more to believe in God than just being saved. After we get saved, God wants us to believe him. I could ask this question tonight. What right now are you believing God to do? That you can't do, no one else can do. What is it that you're praying about? What is it that you are believing God to do? I believe we ought to expect great things from our great God. Amen. And understand that he wants to do that for us. Here in the Bible, Lazarus had died. And I know tonight that that Jesus is interested in this home. He loves Lazarus. He loves Martha. He loves Mary. Amen. And he's interested in being a blessing to these people. But can I tell you this tonight? Listen, our God is no respecter of persons. He's not one more bit more interested in being a blessing to them than he is being a blessing to you and being a blessing to me, being a blessing in your home and being a blessing in my home. The Lord wants to bless. And so when we see Jesus, we see the glory of God. If you'll look with me tonight at John chapter 5, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you in verse 25, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath given the Son to have life in himself, hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and some shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. I'm telling you that the glory of God is seen right here in raising Lazarus from the dead, and we're living in the generation that's fixing to see the glory again, and that our Lord is going to speak, and those that have died in Christ are going to raise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. I'll say this tonight. I'm not trying to, my friend, like I said, I'm not trying to contradict, but some people, they use this text to preach and teach a general resurrection. But I'm telling you, that is not found in the Word of God. Amen. I believe, listen, there's the resurrection of the just. Yes, there is. And then there's a resurrection of the unjust. The resurrection of the just takes place when God's people meet Jesus in the air. He's going to call us up. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but caught up together. That's what it's teaching. Amen. To meet him in the air. That is taught in the precious Word of God. And then, my friend, in the Revelation, we will come back with Jesus to the earth. Amen. And then there'll be a 1,000-year reign. And then that other crowd is going to be called up to stand before the great white throne judgment and be judged according to their works. That's what the Bible teaches concerning the glory of God for the children of God and the resurrection of the just. I believe with all of my heart tonight, when we see Jesus, we see the glory of God. You say, preacher, what would happen when we see Jesus more often? We'll see his glory more often. I believe that. Amen. We need to see him. We need to see him in the songs. We need to see him in the pages of God's Word. We need to see him in the lives of one another. Amen. We need to see him. Let me give you this tonight. Lastly, in the message, we're talking about this man, of these people, the Greeks, they came and they said here, sir, we would see Jesus. We believe when we see him, we see the guilt, we see his goodness, we see his grace, and we see his glory. But I want to show you something here tonight that I trust will be a blessing to you. When we see him, there's something else that we see And it's right here in the Word of God. And that is, we see a gratefulness that is expressed to God when we see Jesus. Amen. You know, sometimes I believe that we forget how blessed we are. And we forget where the blessings come from. Amen. I believe sometimes we get caught up in thinking, my friend, that we're doing all right. And we forget why we're doing all right. We forget who it is that's blessing us. But here in the Bible, I want to give you this little story in this text, and I trust it'll be a blessing. We see gratefulness to God. Let me ask you something. If God raised your brother, ladies, would you be grateful? Amen. Well, let me ask you this. What if he didn't raise your brother? Would you be grateful? Listen, I believe that's a good question, don't you? Amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'll get to it in a minute. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I tell you, if God heals me, okay. If God doesn't heal me, okay. Listen, he's my father and I'm his child. And the Bible didn't tell me to rejoice in the circumstances, but rather rejoice because my name is written in heaven. Amen. I believe tonight that's important. Let's look at this gratefulness in verse number 1 of chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, he came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I want to give you, this woman is grateful for what they have experienced. Amen. I believe there's some things here that as I studied this afternoon, even some more, and did some more reading and some more research, I think it's good for us to understand there's 3 things here that's really, really important to have a healthy home, to have a healthy church, to have a healthy, even life. Amen. And that is this. Lazarus is a picture of salvation. The Bible said that you and I were dead in trespasses and in sin. He raised us, amen, and quickened us and gave us life. And I tell you, beloved, that is a blessing. And then Martha is a picture of service. You know, a lot of people get down on Martha, amen. And listen, I know I'm cut out more like Martha than I am like Mary. Is anybody with me there? Is there anybody cut out more like Mary than like Martha? Maybe so, amen. But let me just say this to you tonight. It takes all 3. Lazarus is a picture of salvation. And then you have my friend Martha that's a picture of service. And then you have a Mary that's a picture of worship and adoration. Listen, if you get overboard anyway, you're going to get out of sorts. There needs to be worship and adoration. But if it's all worship and adoration and no service, then it's not right in the eyes of God. Amen. If it's all service and no worship and adoration, then it's not right in the eyes of God. And when we see Jesus, we're going to want to serve him. We're going to want to worship him and adore him. I believe it's important. The Bible said here, Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Lazarus could now fellowship with the Lord. He had been raised from the dead. He was a friend of the Lord, and the Lord was his friend. I read about this ointment. I'll not be dogmatic about this, but it's very possible. Most believe that Martha and Mary and Lazarus were not rich people, but yet they believe they were not paupers either. Amen. Just an average family in that day. But this that she poured out on the Lord, very easily, I studied and read, could have been a life's savings. It could have been everything that she had saved up her entire life. Amen. And what she was saying is, such a one as he, that would do such as he's done for me. He's not worthy of my leftovers. Amen. He's worthy of the first fruits in my life. He's worthy of my all and all. And I believe that's what she's saying. The Bible said it like this. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. When we see Jesus, we see gratefulness to God. The Bible said, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. In Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I believe, my friend, there's a key right there, don't you? In seeing the Lord in somebody else's life. Amen. When we do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I believe that goes with us home. I believe that goes with us in our job. I believe that goes with us everywhere that we go. Amen. We ought to do what we do unto Him. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles tonight. We're looking at gratefulness to God in light of seeing Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 tonight. Just a couple of things here and I'll be done. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. This is a blessing tonight. The Lord gives us here, writing to the church at Thessalonica through the Apostle Paul, he gives us a verse of Scripture here that's not really, listen, in the flesh, you'll never live up to this verse of Scripture. But it says this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let me give you an example quickly. Years ago, I may have told you this before, but I knew a preacher. And I still know him. His name is Brother Ed Johnson. Brother Ed lived down in Stanley Valley at that time, down below where I live in Carter's Valley. And Brother Ed was helping someone hang some tobacco. Or if you're from Virginia, they call it backer. They were hanging backer in the backer barn. Amen. Everybody knows that what that is. Amen. I wish I'd never seen a stalk of it. Say amen. When I come in to my grandfather, I'd get roped into whatever they was doing. If they was cutting, I was cutting. If they was grading, I was grading. Amen. If they was hoeing, I was hoeing. I didn't like none of it. I've never found anything that I liked in that tobacco field. Amen. But listen, he was helping hang it in a tear in the barn rolled under his feet. And he fell. He didn't fall far. The way I understood it, about 8 foot. But his back, right in the middle of his back, hit the corner of that trailer that was under him. And it paralyzed him from right there down. I remember going to see him in the hospital. Listen, I'm making a point here. I'm making a point. I remember going to see him and I said, Brother Ed, I'm so sorry. He looked at me and he said, Preacher, he said, you and I and our ministries have been with a lot of people in a lot of pain. I said, yes, sir, Brother Ed, we have. He said, Preacher, I'd give anything if I could feel pain in my back right now. Think about that for just a minute. The Word of God said it's helped me along the way. Amen. There's some days, Brother Arnold's not here tonight. I know he faces it. Brother Larry faces it. Some of us has got some problems. There's some days, I'm telling you, it's not easy to look up and just say, thank God I can feel the pain. Amen. But I'll tell you this, it beats being numb from right there down. Amen. Not being able to help herself. And even at that, the Word of God said we ought to give thanks. Amen. I believe it's important in everything give thanks. When we see Jesus, we can give thanks. You say, Preacher, the Bible said this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Look at this chapter for just a minute. I'll give you just a couple of things. In verse number 1 through verse number 3, I'm not going to read it all the times and seasons. Brethren, you know, I have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Number 1, in this chapter, we ought to give thanks when we see Jesus because He's coming. We ought to just thank God we know it. How many knows that tonight? You know, you say, preacher, I didn't read that in the news. No, but I read it in the Word of God. Amen. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. People are mocking His coming. People are saying, where is the promise of His coming? But it's not going to change one thing. If you can get your eye of faith on Jesus, you will know He's coming soon. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming for His own. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Listen, not only do you see, we ought to be grateful because He's coming, but we ought to be grateful because of the light that given to His children. Look in verse number 4. He said, but brethren, you're not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light. You know, tonight, if somebody called me and said somebody's going to break into your house at 2 o'clock tonight, you know what I'd be doing? I'd be sitting up at 2 o'clock waiting, amen. I don't know if it'd be that way or not, Brother Wayne, amen. There's all kinds of ways we can get that done, amen. Brother Wayne's acting like he's holding a shotgun, amen. But anyway, maybe that's because he can't hit anything with a pistol. I don't know, amen. But I'll tell you this much right now. If we knew the thief was coming, we'd be looking for Him. We'd be waiting on Him. But God said that day for God's children, it's not going to take them like a thief. Amen. In other words, my friend, we know He's coming. We're looking for Him to come. We're longing for Him to come. And we're living for Him while we wait for Him to come. I believe tonight that is the evidence. Amen. The Lord is coming. Not only should we be thankful because He's coming, we ought to be thankful because we're not walking in darkness. He said, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Wouldn't you hate for the Lord Jesus to come along in your life or in my life and say, like He said to the disciples, sleep on now. Wouldn't that be pitiful? Amen. I'm telling you, what? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? And then that last time He came, He said, boys, just go ahead and sleep. Sleep on now. Amen. I say to our church, we can't afford to go to sleep. There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake. We need to wake to righteousness. There's light for His children. And then there's the Lord's promise to His children. The Bible said, let us, verse 8, we're of the day, be sober, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart, that's not the only verse, but that's one of the verses, amen, that tells us, my friend, that the children of God, those that are born again, the church of the living God, is not going, my friend, through the time of Jacob's trouble. We're not going through the great tribulation. I will say this. It would not surprise me if we don't face a time of persecution. I read in one of the commentaries today, I believe it was J. Vernon McGee, he said the church started in homes. He was talking about the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus and how the Lord loved the home. And he said before Jesus comes, it may be back in the home. But I tell you, the church will go on till Jesus comes and takes it out of this world. We see gratefulness of God, the gratefulness to God when we see Jesus, the Lord is coming. There's light for His children. There's the Lord's promise to His children. And I believe with that, for that we ought to be grateful. The Bible said, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. I believe we ought to be thankful for one another. Every time Paul opens one of these epistles, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I thank God for you. I'll tell you tonight, you say, well, preacher, old so-and-so's not perfect. Well, you don't have to look any further than right here to find that. Say amen. I'm going to tell you what, you don't have to be perfect for me to thank God for you. Your family don't have to be perfect for me to thank God for your family. And I sure hope and pray to God that my family don't have to be perfect for you to thank God for our family. We ought to, my friend, be thanking God for the people of God. Amen. That we're not in this thing alone. And that we have brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And a family to pray together, worship together, to serve together. Then there's the privilege to praise Him. And to pray to Him. Look at verse 16 and 17. He said, rejoice evermore. He said, pray without ceasing. I'm telling you, that's only five words. And by the grace of God, we ought to rejoice. And by the grace of God, we ought to pray and let our requests be made known unto God. Amen. We ought to adore Him. I'm telling you, Mary's got that ointment. And I'm telling you, there's one thing about it. If you walked in that house, you knew there was something special going on in that house. Those feet of the Lord Jesus and anybody in that day and that hour with those sandals on, those feet were dry. Those feet may have been cracked. Those feet were dirty. Amen. And I'm telling you, that woman just smothered those feet in that ointment. She didn't ask for a towel. She didn't ask for a rag, but she took her hair and she wiped the feet. I'll tell you what's the truth. I believe God the Father smelled that all the way in heaven. I believe that blessed His heart. Amen. To see that, my friend, somebody was grateful for the blessings that He had bestowed upon their lives. My friend, sometimes if we're not careful, we use the old adage, we'll be like a hog eating acorns. We're down there under that oak tree just eating up the blessings and never look up and see where the acorns are coming from. Amen. I'll tell you, a little while back, over there where my boy has property, I built a tree stand. And it's not really a tree stand. It's just a stand. It's standing on its own four legs, but it's standing out there in the woods. My son went up there to look at it the other day. And he said, Dad, he said, you put a Bible verse up there. I said, yeah, I did, son. I believe it spoke to his heart. I had it written in big letters across the front on the inside. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I don't ever want to forget where my help comes from. Amen. I don't ever want to forget, amen, where all the blessings come from. They come from Him. We see gratefulness to God when we see Jesus. And then you see in verse number 19 down through verse number 27, you see the Lord's protection. He said, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly or completely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it. Then He said, brethren, pray for us. And then He said, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Then He said, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. And then verse 28. We see the Lord's grace. He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. It made a full circle in the message today. It started with when we see Jesus, we see the grace of God. And it made a full circle here and come right back. When we see Jesus, we see the grace of God. No wonder that these people, these Greeks came and they said, Philip, we didn't come to see Lazarus. We come to see Jesus. We would see Jesus. I believe with all of my heart that if we as a people, as a body of Christ, as individuals, whether it's the choir or the Sunday school, Sister Winkle, you're going over there with them little ones, just beg God, God, help them to see Jesus. You know, Sister Pam, just help them to see Jesus. If they see us and they don't see Him, we've missed it. We need them to see Jesus. We need them to see His love. We need them to see His grace. We need them to see His mercy. We need them to see His kindness. We need them to see He's coming. And they need to get ready. Because He is coming. He's coming. He's coming again. I don't know about you. One day I might go over here where they engrave some things. And get me a plaque that I might just put it up here to remind us, Brother Ralph and Brother Brian, and everybody stands in this pulpit, sir, we would see Jesus. We need to see him. Amen. I believe you can see him even in the life of Melchizedek, Brother Brian. Amen. You can see him in Hebrews. You can see him in Genesis. You can see him in Revelation. You can see him in Deuteronomy. Say amen. One old preacher said one time, I tell you, he said he heard somebody preach, and he said it's better to, my friend, to keep your mouth shut and let everybody think you're a fool as to open it and remove all doubt. He said he heard a preacher say you can't find Jesus in the Old Testament. I'm going to tell you what's the truth. Amen. I feel sorry for that feller, don't you? He's all over the Bible. Amen. He is the living Word of God. You can't even get out of Genesis. Amen. You can't even get started in Genesis. In the beginning, what did it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You go over there to, John chapter number 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Amen. And in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness. Who said, I am the light of the world? The light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You can go over there, and the Bible said, this is the true light. John said, I'm not that light. He said, but I'm sent to bear witness of that light. He said, this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You drop on down there, verse 14. The Bible said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'll just say this. I'm not going to fall out with anybody, but I'll stand right here. You could say, in the beginning, God. You could say, in the beginning, Jesus. And you would not be doing the Bible a disjustice, amen, or a disservice, amen. Let us, the Word of God said, make man in our own image, amen. Thank God for Jesus. We need to see Him in this generation. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to preach, the privilege to pray, the privilege, Lord, just to lift up Jesus in this generation. He, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man. Lord, you said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Lord, I know you were talking about the cross. Lord, I pray you'd help us even in this generation to lift you up high, to lift you up holy. Lord, to have proper reverence for you and for the things of God. And I pray, Lord, tonight that, Lord, when we go to work, when we go to school, when we go soul winning, when we go to the hospital, help us, Lord, to be like the songwriter said when Carol Robertson said, I want the people to see Jesus in me. Help them, Lord, that they might see a difference, that they might understand, Father, that we're not responsible for that difference. It's somebody else that lives and abides in us. Help us, Lord, tonight. God will give you glory.